I'm totally present. You can hug me, take me for a walk. But if my gate's up, there is no access point. Okay, this is the finest training I could give you. Is the castle. Teresa. What this does for your health. The fact that you can be in the language of Jesus, in the world, but not of it. In the language of Buddha, be here, but recognize illusion. And then, in my language of medical intuition, you are fully present, but you're not hemorrhaging anywhere. And then someone can say to you, the sky's falling, Chicken Little. And you can hold yourself center and recognize, for you, the sky's falling, my sky's fine. You don't get hooked in. No one can puncture you and say, those shoes are horrible. I would never, what's the matter with you wearing those kinds of shoes? No matter what someone says, it's hard to live there. It takes great rigor because some people are tender to you. And you love them dearly. And they can knock bricks down and you can't put your gate up when you see them coming no matter what you do. Like, well, this is useless. Some people just have the back door key. You always want them in your castle. You'll always want them in your castle. Okay, that's all there's to it. But even there, it takes a great deal to love people that much where you are still able to love and manage discernment, care, okay? Love with wisdom says it's time to go. It's time to stay. It's time to speak clearly. It's time to forgive. Love is work. Love is joy. It's all of those things. And this makes up the human experience. But what's not allowed on this side, in this new world, is vengeance. That was a tool of the other world. And what we must strive for in this new world is getting our appetite to hurt each other out of us and what each of us is going to discover is that our physical bodies no longer tolerate hatred, vengeance, the desire to hurt another as easily as they once did. Our bodies will no longer tolerate dark, destructive energies in the same way they once held them. Our conscience will no longer rationalize dark, destructive choices when we know better. Because our unconscious is not as unconscious anymore. So in this new world, we no longer will be able to tell ourselves the lies we got away with before. You know, I look around and I see almost as if certain people living in certain places who run certain countries. Now, I won't mention any names. But it's as if they know that the time's run out for their last big lies. And they're like trying to get in all the lies they can. Because it's as if we're coming to this tipping point. What's happening is we're becoming psychic techs. And we don't get that. We're becoming psychically, technically skilled. That's the part we don't get yet. And that's the part that's going to cause a lot of crashing and awakening. This is going to cause a lot of world transitioning and a lot of bonding and a lot of awakening as our psychic fields start feeling a far more compassionate empathy with each other. This is what's causing us to create a means to communicate with each other, to form a global humanity. The foundation is being laid for a global community that we may none of us live to ever see. But we are the ones, the early pioneers, we are the, shall we say, the people on the Mayflower. You know, we are the new arrivals. And so there's nothing that's really working. There's no plumbing yet. There's no electricity. There's no solar electricity yet. I need you to image, use your imagery. There's nothing, there's no streets here yet. The solar electricity hasn't been put in and the solar plumbing hasn't been put in. We haven't gone green yet in this new world. We haven't figured it out yet, but we've arrived and there's no going back. But if you see clearly, you can see that a lot of people in power still want to go back. And they still think that they can legislate tickets on a ship to go back. You can still see that they're trying to do that they can bomb their way back or that they can buy their way back. But what you need to know is we can't go back. We're here to stay. You can only go forward. And that in every decision you make, even your health knows you can only go forward. And in this new world, you can only learn the rules now. And the rules are about cooperating. And in this new world, what you have to understand is that in the old world, the space between you and me was considered empty. In this world, this is the fullest space there is. Between you and me is dark matter. It's alive. It is thicker and more dense than any wall and any matter in the physical world. Physicists know that this is dark matter. That's what they call this. But in my language, this is our data zone. This is where all our data is stored. This is our Google zone. This is where our electromagnetic data banks are. This isn't empty space. This is filled with psychic data. Now you need to live consciously of that. You need to be conscious that in this world, there are no secrets. That in this world, everything can be known. You can be accessed. Certainly by someone like me. In this world, you need to become a clear, transparent, honest being. If you are serious about being healthy and whole, you need a spiritual practice. You need a human practice. What does that look like? It's essential every day for you to find time, quiet time, to reflect on the following. What choices do I make and why do I make the choices that I do? What motivates me? Who am I? You need to examine on a regular basis, what are your values? What are your values? What do you value? What values do you organize your life around? Is it more important for you to give or to take? Is it more important for you to nurture or be noticed? What motivates you? Do you need to be the center of attention? No attention? Minor attention? What motivates you? when you look at the life choices you make, what really motivates your tiny micro choices? Comfort and convenience or wisdom? Comfort and convenience. If they strike you as high on the list, then where do you put your respect for endurance? Do you see yourself as someone who is able to endure? And you ask yourself, what can I endure? Are you a complainer? What do you complain about? Are you someone who's difficult to satisfy? Are you someone that for you, your life is constantly disappointing? Why? What are you disappointed in all the time? What are you disappointed in all the time? Do you consider yourself a needy person? Would your friends say you're needy? If an angel appeared right now and said, what do you want? Give me two things that you want. What do you want? How do you want your life changed? What do you want? What would you say? Would they be stuff? Would they be something inner? What would they be? You got 10 seconds. Answer the question. What would they be? What would you want? 10 seconds. That's it. What would they be? Okay. These are the things you put aside. It is essential that you, in the language of Teresa, know yourself deeply. The spiritual journey is not a trip to a spa like it's been carved out to be these last 40 years. It's a path of inner illumination. Who am I? Why am I the way I am? Why do I do what I do? What do I actually believe? And how well am I able to even live that belief? What do I believe? What is my intuitive voice? What does it sound like? Do I listen to it? How do I discern what it says? You know what it is. It's that part of you that is constant and it's below your neck. And it's a constant. It's an absolute constant. Absolute constant. Why do I not listen to it? You ask yourself that in this quiet time. Why do I not want to listen to you? This is what you pray about. And you keep a journal so that when you answer these questions, you write them down so you have to own the answer. Why do I not want to listen to you? Why do I fear the truth? The truth. What's the worst thing you could say to me? I'm afraid you're going to take stuff from me. I'm afraid you're going to make me lonely. I am lonely. Okay, we got that out of the way. I'm afraid you're going to do this. Well, I am this way. Okay, got that out of the way. This is your inner spiritual deep practice. You cannot be in this world, claim to have a spiritual practice, and only pull it out if you get sick or scared. That's not allowed. That's not allowed. This is a living, breathing world now. You're living in a living, breathing, conscious universe now. You have to dialogue with it all the time. And it's in your best interest to recognize it's a living, breathing field of grace. It's in your best interest to imagine yourself floating every day through a field of conscious, loving grace. What can be bad about that? What can be bad about that? I'm not sending you to Catholic school. I'm sending you into this stunning imagery of what it really is if you can reach that altitude. Reach that altitude. That this is a field of loving grace. It's hard to live at that altitude. It's brutally hard to live at that altitude. But it's this. I give you this image. That each of us is living in a 30-floor apartment building. All of us have 30 floors. And it's a walk up. So it's really, really, really hard to walk up to the penthouse. We have to do a lot of preparation to get up there. And it's just like, you've got to be kidding. And I'm not kidding. It's 30 floors. Okay. So every day, I don't feel like it today. I don't feel like it today. I'll make it 300 floors. Let's be realistic. It's like the spiritual, you know, la la land. But then one day we decide we're doing it. We're doing it. We're doing it. We have to work it. We have to work it. And we finally, you know, like crawl up. We get like 100 floors and we think, I'm done. We get 20 floors and I'm not doing this. And we start cheating and negotiating, cheating. We go down, we go up. But and there comes the day where we just do it. We pack it in. It takes us maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks. We go on a retreat. We retreat in and we crawl up there. It takes a week to get these 300 floors. Requires a retreat. We even are willing to turn off our phones. Then we get up there and we see the world for the first time. Like nobody else sees it. We can't even hear the world below. The sound of the silence is unlike anything. It's not quiet, it's silence. Because even here, if we're perfectly still, all of us, we can hear the electricity. We can still hear. So it's quiet, but it's not silence. There, it is stillness. There's nothing. It's just a wild, deep silence of creation. Unbelievable. It's the silent sound of God. And you know, I am in God, not with, in. I am in God. And you feel you're in the heart of God. You're pulsing in the heart of God. The brightness is so bright you can hardly, and it's over. You were held as high and you're back down. You're back down in a who the hell knows second floor or something. But you think it's real. And it's in this building, the very building I live in. It's my 300th floor. It's actually real. It's in this building. It's in my building. It's in your building. It's actually there. It's actually really there. Yeah, you have to sit back. You get a cup of coffee. You sit back and you think, what just happened to me? Where did I go? You want to grab onto Teresa and say, where did I go? And then you know exactly where you went. Like it was this microsecond into some heart of God. It was just like this flit. It was so fast, so big, so deep, so profound, so silent. It was my 300th floor. You have a 300th. It's in each of our buildings. And when you came down, you thought, it's real. When I think about this, I go up there in my memory because I can't get there. I can't get there. I can go there in my memory. Teresa said, when God gets in the walls of your soul once, it's enough for a lifetime. You know, it is. It is. It is. Because now I go up there all the time. Just the memory, the fragrance of the memory. But I go there when I think of what's happening in our world. When I think of illness, global pain, global. There isn't, when I'm up there in my image, in my memory, and I can hold that position, healing anything, stopping anything. I know that there are cycles in motion that even those prayers can't interfere with. There are cycles that must work themselves out now. That's all there's to it. That's all there's to it. They cannot be interfered with. But the force of prayer is such, whether I'm talking to you about something in your life, if you said to me, look what I have to deal with in my body. I have this cancer. I have this brain tumor. I have blindness. And your problem is what? Is your problem that you don't believe you can do something about this? Is that what your problem is? What are you telling me your problem is? That you don't believe? or that you do believe and you're just too confused. Because from my point of view, after what I've been able to experience, what you have in this world, if you understand this world, is not the issue. It's how well you understand the world you're living in your body, how well you understand the profoundness of your soul, how deeply you regard your understanding that you're here truly as a soul who is expected to pray. Let me say that again. You're expected to keep vigil here because you are a channel of grace, and grace challenges psychic free radicals. And the only thing that we have to counter dark creation is prayer and grace. You are expected to pray, to generate grace, actions of grace. However you do that, it is expected of us through kindness toward each other, through feeding homeless. We are expected to care for each other. This is a form of healing. You are not here just to take care of yourself. And I assure you that if that is your commitment, is just to yourself, you won't live in the vibrational field that qualifies for a miracle. You just won't. It won't happen. It's not a punishment, by the way. It's just that you're living in the wrong hood, vibrational-wise. It's as simple as that. You just don't have a vibrational field that's strong enough to handle that kind of light. You're in the wrong hood. You are, vibrationally speaking, slumming. You need to expand. You need the support of others. You need more love in you and around you to handle that kind of light that comes flying in and dissolving disease. So in this world, when someone says, but how would you heal this one? That's not the issue anymore. Or how you heal this one? No. In this world, the rules are about, I need to learn the higher laws. I need to learn about my role in what choices do I make and what consequences have I set in motion? Why do I make the choices I do? Do I listen to my intuition? I need to pray for guidance every day. I need to pray for others. I need to stay in prayer. What kind of prayers? Hover over me, God. Go get a book of healing prayers. Go read the work of Thomas Merton or Rumi or any of these, of Emily Dickinson. These great poets, philosophers, mystical theologians, they're available everywhere. Read something that brings you in, that brings you out of yourself and into a deeper place, that takes you out of your smallness and into your greatness, that takes you out of your finite self and into your infinite self. There in your infinite self will you find that you have the capacity to hear God and to move through whatever obstacle is placed in front of you, to love more than you ever thought you can love, to love that which you thought, no, I cannot, to navigate what you thought you could never navigate through. You have to access your infinite self. So I am sharing with you a path that I have come to understand. I've seen it, the validity, again and again and again. And I'm also going to say that at the end of the day, there is a masterful divineness in charge that has us enveloped in a compassion that says, I don't play by any rules. I break the rules that I've created. I decide when and how to break them and with whom. As Sister Kevin from the Sisters of Providence, who educated me, when a CNN reporter said, what's a miracle, sister? And she said, oh, that's when God breaks the laws of nature just for you. We have to treat heaven as a force that is subject only to the laws of the unknown. We are subject to laws of known. And as such, you don't know when the divine will show up, how or whatever. You can say, I will live in readiness for the unknown. That's the best you can do. The mistake we make is trying to make the world a logical, orderly place, and that journey defeats everyone who's ever made it. When someone says, well, will this heal me? Will this heal me? I think it is much wiser for us to recognize and to bear in mind that healing has many, many expressions, but to only look for the body as proof that healing is possible is a big mistake. That so long as someone sets their sight on healing, that person, yourself included, will always heal. It's better to live in the reality that every day each of us is healing something. We may not today be dealing with a disease, but we're healing something. We're healing an attitude. We're healing a memory. We're healing an addiction. We're healing something. Some part of us is dealing with a healing. We are always healing. And that's never going to stop. That's never, ever going to stop. So I leave you with this. Teresa would always pray, with God, all things are possible. Hover over me. I love that prayer. I love that prayer. And if you are in need of a personal healing, think of the grace of God pouring into you. Then you just close your eyes and do that all the time. And imagine yourself in that interior castle with your eyes closed in the silence of your castle. Just you and that heartbeat of God saying, let your grace pour through me. Let your grace melt away everything that frightens me. I may not have enough faith in you today, but grant me the grace of faith. Let me breathe it in. Let me feel that faith in my lungs. Let me hear you in my ears. Let me feel you in every cell of my body. Hover over me, God.
We hope you enjoyed this Hay House audio presentation. For more information on programs, books, and seminars by Carolyn Mace, visit hayhouse.com. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.